This is Regina Kong with the Hobbit Hole Oral History Project. Today I'm with Kim Nay at her home in Gustavus, and it's August 11th, 2019. Could you restate your name for me? And let's begin with where you grew up.
Okay, my name is Kim Nay. I grew up in Georgia. I lived there for 21 years. I went to high school, college at Georgia Southern College in Southern Georgia. And then I moved to California and I worked there for 5 or 6 years. I worked with physically challenged people. My college degree was in recreation and I minored in ceramics. So ceramics was my love and passion. And I thought that's always what I would want to do is have a ceramic studio and actually make tiles, but I ended up morphing into pots. So then I went to California, I got a job at a community college, and I fired their kilns for 5 years. Took more classes, and then I met a friend who had been to Alaska and told me, oh, you should go to Alaska. You like to be outdoors, and it's great, and you can just go up to Seattle and jump on a boat, and you can find a job. And I thought, oh, okay, that sounds easy. So went to Seattle, and no, it wasn't so easy to find a boat to jump on. And I was very intimidated because I knew nothing about boats, and I knew nothing about fishing, and ended up coming up to Alaska on a sailboat with a couple who needed help, who I thought, oh, I'll learn all about boats, and I'll learn how to tie knots. And, well, they knew probably a little bit more than I did, but not a whole lot. And it was an interesting ride up, and we got to Ketchikan, and the captain had a punctured lung and went into the hospital. So I jumped ship and just kind of traveled around a little bit. He told me he'd help me find a job on a fishing boat. And, well, of course, he's in the hospital. So it's like, okay, I'm on my own now. So I thought, well, I'm here early. I'll just try to see the state. So I went from there to Petersburg and Juneau. Then I flew up to Anchorage and hitchhiked down to Homer. And in Homer, there's a lot of fishing boats there. And walked around there, and there was a crab boat, a 90-foot crab boat that was going to Kodiak. And they gave me a ride over to Kodiak. I thought, well, I'll go see Kodiak. And they decided they were going to hire a cook for the summer on their boat. So I said I would love to be the cook, and maybe I'd learn more. So I spent my summer in Kodiak, and we went around and around the island numerous times buying fish, and so I learned a lot about seining and gill netting, and it was very enjoyable. And then they went to the Bering Sea to do king crab, and they let me go and be the cook. So I went all the way to the Bering Sea, and we call it the Boring Sea. And we were there for 50 days. And then we came back to Kodiak. And I had met another cook on another boat who lived in Fairbanks. And she invited me to come up and visit. So I went up there and ended up staying there for the winter, taking more pottery classes, because still in the back of my head, I'm going to be a potter. And I met people who had are affiliated with the Hobbit Hole. So I started hearing about the Hobbit Hole.
In Fairbanks.
And so this was in 80. So I kind of heard, oh, the Hobbit Hole, this, the Hole. I met Bobbo. I met, that would probably be the only other person that you've interviewed. Let me think who else. Anyway, Bobbo was one of them. And Sandy Craig. I met Sandy Craig. And Sandy Craig set me up with a fisherman to go fishing with out of Sitka. So like that spring I came down and went to Sitka to get on this boat with a man named Larry, and it was just disastrous. He was an alcoholic, and we went out to the outer grounds, and I think we put the hooks in for maybe 2 days, and then there's a particular bay out there that you can only get in and out of when the weather's calm, and the weather was horrible, so we got stuck inside the bay, and he and his buddy proceeded to get drunk every night and talk about, oh, I'm going to shoot this person up or whatever, and I got to get off this boat. And so finally they ran out of alcohol. The weather broke. We ran back to Elfin Cove. We got to the docks. I jumped off the boat and said, I quit, about the same time he said, you're fired. And one of the other friends from Fairbanks was on the dock and said, oh, well, come with me. I'm going to the Hobbit Hole. And so that was how I first got to the Hobbit Hole. I got rescued from this horrible troller onto to the Hobbit Hole, and that's when I started meeting all these people. I had no idea really what the Hobbit Hole was. I didn't have any in my head, and so it was like, wow, what is this place?
What did you hear about it when you were in Fairbanks, though?
I just heard it's kind of like a fishing community. That's where Bobbo fished out of. I really can't remember. It's been a long time. But Bobo had his own little boat, and he took me fishing for a little while, good hand trolling. And I thought, this is really fun. I could do this. And then I fished with somebody else for a little while. And then there was somebody coming through who needed a deckhand that was going down to Port Althorp, which is, you know, where that is. It's way down at the end of Baranoff Island. So I thought, well, that'd be fun. You know, I was really into just seeing the country. And so I jumped on his boat and we trolled all the way down, and then we trolled there. And then when the season was over, oh, then the gardener who was there, Tara, I'm sure you've heard her. Have you heard her name? She was a
No.
girl from New Zealand. She wanted to go fishing with Dennis. You interviewed Dennis, right? Okay. So she wanted to go fishing, and so they needed another gardener. So I came back to the Hobbit Hole to be the gardener. And then I just finished up that season. Then I went back to California. And then the next season, they asked me to come back to be the gardener again. So that was probably be 81 or 80, 80 or 81, something like that. And then I was the gardener for the whole summer. So it was, you know, I was like, wow, I've never gardened before in my life. So I had a
Oh,
lot
that
to
was your first
learn.
time.
Yes, I was very nervous, and I was reading books like, how do you garden and whatnot. And so the whole place was very exciting and new to me. I'd never gardened. I'd never been around so much fishermen. It was kind of a communal environment. I'd never really been, you know, there was a lot of firsts for me. Never been on the water. I never ran a skiff. I'm not really that. I was never really good at reading maps and knowing where I was, you know, and the terrain. I mean, even going from the Hobbit Hole to the Elfin Cove was like, will I get lost? It's like, well, no, you'll not get lost. There's only, you know, keep the water, the land to your left or right. So it was all very new and exciting. And I felt really privileged to be there, and then all the experiences I had and all the people were always coming and going and learning new things. And I smoked just a ton of fish, and I just canned fish like mad. So all the fishermen offered me half of their fish to can. So I would can halibut and salmon, and I'd smoke fish. And I think one summer I canned like, oh, I don't know how many, 30 or 40 cases. So back then it was actually cans, and the cases come in 30 to 60 a case. So I was just doing, you know, and you have to do the little thing. And we had an oil stove to begin with. So it was doing all this on an oil stove and regulating the oil stove. And it was before electricity. And so it was all very exciting. I really enjoyed it. And I met a lot of people and new experiences. And yeah, and then I started fishing with Greg. And then I fished with Greg for 4 years. And so that was at first very fun. I enjoyed fishing. But after a while, I didn't enjoy it so much. Fishing is kind of the same banter over and over again. So for me, after a while, the fishing got to be too much, and it's really hard on your body. And so that's kind of the long short story. But I loved being at the Hobbit Hole. The hot tub, and we had projects all the time that we did, and had a lot of help in the garden, and grew a lot of great food, did a lot of landscaping, got to go on, you know, super adventures. But part of the I think still happens at the Hobbit Hole is you always think you have to be doing something, you know, instead of just having fun, like just go just spend a day doing nothing or go camping for a weekend or something. You didn't really do a lot of that, you know. So really, I didn't explore a lot of that area until I left. You know, I never kayaked around, and now I have kayaked around there now. And I never went kayaking, hardly ever went camping. We did climb up to the top every once in a while. That was kind of like a big thing. We did climb up North Mountain. That was really fun. And 4th of July was a huge deal there. I'm sure you've seen pictures of the 4th of July. So we used to have all sorts of great games and fun times on the 4th. But more than that, more than less, it was, you're always doing projects, you know, chopping wood or moving a garden or, you know, canning fish, which like I say, I really appreciated. But so that was kind of the, yeah. So I didn't really get to see, like, I never even went to Three Hill until after I left the Hobbit. Did you go to Three Hill while you were there? Yeah. So I didn't even go to Three Hill until years after I left the Hobbit Hole. I just knew it was a cannon there, but I never even went to Three Hill. I mean, we'd go to Elfin Cove and get our supplies and things like that. So yeah, it was a very unique lifestyle, and I really treasure that I got to be a part of that and meet the people that I've met and live that lifestyle. But it just became a time when I was just ready to move on, and that enough was enough. And my studio was kind of a dream. that kind of happened but kind of didn't, so but it's being put to use, really good use now. And
What studio?
the guest house was my studio, and so that was, and the and building that was very cool. I mean, I had so many people that helped and people that came and went and carpenters and friends, and it was, you know, just a labor of love. So I really appreciate, excuse me, appreciated that.
I was going to ask, do you remember what you were thinking when you first saw The Hobbit Hole? What your first impression was of it?
I can't really say. That's kind of the short story. It's longer than most stories I tell.
So you didn't get to explore because you were always just so busy.
Yeah, we were all just always had
Yeah.
projects, you know. It's like, let's do projects, and you know, which were fun. And like I say, that, you know, for me, first time, like, you know, skinning a deer or canning venison or going halibut fishing or salmon fishing. We did go to Dundas and pick berries quite every fall, which was really fun. But they were always project oriented or food oriented, and which at first were really, really fun. But then after a while, it just became chores instead of just fun. And
So were you there as a gardener throughout your time there? Was that your...
No, I was a gardener. Then Greg and I were in a relationship, and I was his puller. Yeah, so I
Oh.
fished the last 4 years I was there.
And then that's when you decided it was time to
Time
leave.
to leave. So I was, Greg fished for humpies. I'm sure he told you that. So I kind of had the humpy queen. He had a little boat, and which made it easier for me because I wasn't really a boat person. So it was really great for me. His boat was little enough that we could only hold X amount of fish. So after we filled it, we got to go home. So you were inspired to work really fast because you knew you got to go home. And he also liked to come home every night, so it was very rare that we actually spent the night out on the boat, which is mostly what everybody else did. And so it was interesting.
Could you tell me more about your
The
gardens that you
gardens.
worked on at the Hobbit Hall?
They were already established when I got there, so I didn't. Well, did I? I can't remember what new gardens. I helped do the flower garden, so that whole area to the right of the Hobbit Hole, where there's the two cherry trees, if they're still there, and where Jane put in the white rock path. Okay, so I kind of started that. I did not finish it by any means, but the only garden that really that was there was the garden up this. I'm not sure it's even a garden anymore. You go past the house and up into the over there. That's where the garden was when I was there, and I just learned. I did pretty good. I just, you know, I read a lot of books, and I had a lot of help, and it was relatively successful. Kind of hard to remember now, really much about the garden. It seems like it was more about fishing and chores. Chopping wood and kelp. We get kelp and things like that.
What'd you use the kelp for?
You just in the compost, or you put it around the plants, you know, for minerals, and it's a really good fertilizer.
Were these food gardens or flower gardens?
Food.
Food.
Pretty much all. There was a woman over in Idaho Inlet who had a place called Nip and Tuck. And she had really beautiful flowers, and so I went and dug up a bunch of flowers. When she got ready to leave, she invited me over to dig up flowers. So I did bring those over. I don't really have a memory of starting any flowers, and there's a lot of things are foggy. We have really a lot about the garden is foggy. So mostly food.
What were some of the highlights of being at the Hobbit Hole? So how many years were you there for?
So probably over the course of 5 or 6, you know, not continuous. There were some winters I went away by myself. There's some winters that Greg and I went together. I did stay some winters, but you know, I was young and I liked to travel and I liked to do other things. And I had, you know, I went to Mexico or wherever. You know, someone would go with me. So I go back to Georgia and see my family. I always tried to do that once a year. All of it. I mean, it was just a new experience, you know, having all the fish and the community spirit. living on a, isolated island, that was really fun.
Had you ever lived any place as isolated as that before?
Never. I didn't even ever dream or think about any place like that before. Yeah, so it was all just really kind of special and magical. And I think the same things that I loved about it were the same things that kind of drove me crazy towards the end. The people were coming and going all the time. You don't have any control really of who comes and goes or how long they stay. And so those are the kind of things that, sharing a house with, one person or 20 people, or I think the magic kind of wore off after a while, but it was very magical. And I think also its location and your ability to like take hikes or do, you're there, and you have to really plan to go somewhere else, so you're not so mobile really. You're pretty not just isolated because you're always people coming and going, but you're isolated or you're at the whim of other people. I did learn how to run the boat, and I would go. I didn't learn how to go to Elfin Cove, but that was a huge, huge step for me, because I didn't grow up around motor boats or on the water. So, Georgia's in dry land. So that part was pretty challenging.
And did you grow up fishing?
No, I was
So.
my yeah with with worms in the lake. My grand we fished at a lake in the summertime, but otherwise, really, I had very little knowledge about salmon or halibut. So that was, it was all big eye openers for me and a cool experience.
So you said it was exciting at first, but eventually you just got tired of it.
Just yeah, kind of yeah. I needed to move on. I don't know if you were around fishermen very much while you were out there.
Well, I didn't get to go out fishing with Deborah one day.
You did? Okay, that's fun. Cool.
Yeah.
Which is
But
very
for me, it's
exciting.
exciting,
It
right?
is
Because it's
very
the first
exciting.
time.
Yeah, it's very exciting, and the things you see. And every day, of course, you start early and you get to see the weather, and but you're on a boat and you're listening to the engine and you're smelling the smells that a boat makes, and you're killing fish all day long. It's like I kind of got tired of killing things all the time, and getting up early. I'm not a morning person, so that took a lot getting used to. But
And Greg was the first one to get up, right? Or the first one to leave. That's what I
pretty much,
heard.
yeah. Greg is clockwork, up and out, and there you go. Get your lines in the water. That's the motto. EMB, the early morning bite. Yeah, so just
And so, how did you find time to do your ceramic work while you were there
I
then?
did not do hardly any didn't do any ceramics out there. So that whole time was just a dream to do ceramics, so I never did any ceramics out there.
But you did build a studio.
Did build the studio, but it never was an active studio.
Oh, but the idea was that it would
Yeah,
be your.
studio. Yeah, so it was built to be a studio, but never became a studio. So I think it's pretty much always been a guest house.
So where did you go after you left the Hobbit Hole?
I went on a trip, went to Australia and New Zealand. I always wanted to go to Australia. Well, actually, before
Whoa.
I came to Alaska, I wanted to go to Australia and New Zealand. And so I said, I'm going to go to Alaska and make enough money so I can go to Australia and New Zealand. And it took me 6 years to get all that money and energy to go. So I went there. And then I had friends here in Gustavus. And I really loved Alaska and wanted to come back and garden more and learn more about gardening. But still be near the water. So this is probably your most the community that meets that bill the best. So I came here, and did you interview Amy Yeomans?
No,
Okay,
yeah.
she's very good friends with Greg and Fred in the house. And so, well, I should also mention Doris and Bob, but their parents and I were very, very good friends, and they lived here, and so they kind of helped me out when I first came here. And I gardened at their house when I first came here. And that was really fun, and it was nice having a relationship with Doris. It was very sweet, and Bob was an interesting man, full of vigor and vim, and so that was fun too. So yeah, so I came here and house sat and moved around from house to house to house until I finally decided I wanted to live here and find property.
And then when you left the Hobbit Hole, was it difficult to tell everyone that you...
It was very difficult. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the most difficult things I've ever done.
Wow.
Very emotional, very hard.
And how long were you in Australia, New Zealand?
I was gone for maybe 9-10 months. And then I just, summer came. I knew it was summer here, and I just had to come back to Alaska. You know, I got the fever, I got the disease, and needed to come back. So Amy actually facilitated for me coming back. She had just started a business, a smokehouse business. And so I came back and worked for her and her smokehouse that first summer. And then I got a job at the park. And so I worked for maintenance at the park for 9 or 10 years.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so cool that you gardened for the first time, basically up a Hobbit Hole.
Right.
And now it seems like you're still gardening.
I love to garden. It's my passion, as you can see. I've got lots of gardens, and I've gotten pretty good at it. I got the tricks down, and mostly it's weeding. It's not really gardening. I call it weeding.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I absolutely love gardening. I love making things grow and being able to have my own food, know where it comes from.
Do you have any favorite plants to... grow?
Not really. I love being able to eat what I grow, knowing what you know what I'm putting in my body. So that's real important to me. After I came here, I really realized, I guess I didn't really realize while I was there how special the access to fish was. So when I came here, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, not that I didn't utilize it and appreciate it while I was there, but I just kind of took it for granted that, oh yeah, fish, you can get fish all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, no, you can't get fish all the time, and then the quantities and whatnot. So and venison, I really loved the venison. I loved having fresh meat, and so, you know, you don't really realize, like they say, you know, you pay paradise and put up a parking lot. So that's kind of like, it's gone. It's not that access, but I really appreciate even more so now. I mean, we get a lot of fish, and I still can and smoke. And actually, my smoker was Bob. You can't see it from here, but was Bob Howe's old smoker.
Oh.
So he was getting rid of it, and so we hauled it over here, and Wayne helped put a new roof on it. And so that's kind of fun. So it's like a 60-year-old smoker, probably.
Wow.
Yeah, it's starting to lean and look its age. But so that was very fun. So yeah. And then there's more people here. There's Peter Turner. Did you talk to Peter Turner?
No. Okay.
He was one of Fred's pullers. And I fished with him for a little while. I was out there. We halibut fished. And I fished with Dennis a little bit. And Bobo. That's about it, probably. And Greg. Mostly.
Did you go back? Have you been to the Hobbit Hole since you left?
Oh, yeah. I've gone quite a few times. They would, see, when Doris died, that's Greg and Fred's mother, they had a remembrance weekend, and we went out there, and there's a little corner there where they buried different people, so we had which was really fun, and we buried her remains there. And see, did I go for Bob's? I don't know. I've gone quite a few times. I've gone for Memorial Day weekends and things like that. I haven't been in a while, but I have gone back numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, very welcoming, and it's very enjoyable. And I've gone there a couple times in the winter when there's hardly anybody there, which was really fun too, when it's more quiet. Yeah, I'm not a real big, I don't really like being around a ton of people at once, so it's nice when it's not so quiet, when there's not quite so many people there.
Yeah, I've been staying there for the past week.
Oh.
And it was just me and another person for a few days, and it's really lovely.
Oh, nice.
It's just a few people.
Yes. It's a great place. There's not many places like that.
Did you meet Wayne while you were at the Hobbit Hole, or was that after?
After I left. I met him in Fairbanks.
Mm.
That's a whole other story.
and then when did you both settle down in Gustavus together?
I can't remember what year Wayne first came here. I think he started coming to visit me in 87. We bought this property in 91. So by then we were pretty well established. So we've been here since 91. We moved into this house in 95. And here we are.
And you built this house together,
We built this house, 90% of it. We had some help. But yeah, so it was kind of labor of love, built it in steps and kind of pushed, like this part was the addition and that part was an addition, and we built the his shop, and then we built the woodshed and the garden shed, so it kind of kept growing, growing, growing.
Besides gardening, what are some other skills or things that you feel like you've taken with you from your time at the Hobbit Hole?
Fish, learning how to process fish, smoke, can venison, how to can and smoke it, firewood, skiffing, learning how to drive a skiff. And I've never driven a skiff before, so yeah, learned my all my nautical skills from the Hobbit Hole. Bread making, I learned how to make bread out there. That's a lot.
That is a lot. And then, did you ever take Wayne out to the Hobbit Hole?
I did. He went. He's been there. See, we went. Some Memorial Day weekend thing was his first time out there. So yeah, he's been there. I sent my brother and sister. My sister and brother-in-law went out there. That's about it for family. But yeah, Wayne went. I went many, many years ago. Probably late 80s. Yeah. And we've been through there a couple times later on, and then now he's quite involved with the new program.
Right, how do you, what are your thoughts about that?
I think it's great. I'm glad it's not a lodge. It seems to be a really great opportunity for young people like yourself. And Wayne is really enjoying being a part of the board and whatnot. I don't participate like in the work parties and stuff. Like, I did plenty enough work out there. I don't need to go out there to work. But it's lucky for them, that someone wanted to buy it that's willing to put their heart and soul into it. So it's a good thing.
And it seems like now you're doing, or you are doing a lot of ceramics. You
I
have this
did. I
studio
did. I
here.
started opening my studio here in 98 or something like that. So I just closed it probably 5 years ago. So yeah, I had my own little got a little gazebo out here. Well, first we had an art co-op, and there was seven or eight of us artists, and we had a little shop that we kept open 3 or 4 hours a day. And we, like any other co-op, everybody took turns doing things. And then that gazebo out there by my garden, I turned that into a self-service gazebo. People could just come by, and I had a little box, and I had a procedure of how you bought my pottery and you put the money in it. And that was great because, like I say, I'm not really a great people person. I don't like talking to people about my pottery, so they either buy it or don't. So that worked out really, really well. If I could have charged people for taking a photograph of my gazebo, I probably would have been a lot richer than I would have by making pots. People loved the idea and never got ripped off. And sometimes people wouldn't have money or a check, and they say, "I'll send you a check," and then I'd get a check in the mail like 2 weeks later, which was very sweet. And so that was a good way for me to make pots and sell them. And I'd have local sales at Christmas. We have a Christmas sale here every year, and I'd have a Christmas sale, or maybe in the spring I'd have a spring sale, and I'd sell all my seconds just here and give people just a killer deal. So that's, you see a lot of pots around that, people bought for $2 or $1 or whatnot. And of course I had them all for presents and things like that. So it was good. But I started having wrist issues, arthritis, and I had a hand operation, and just thought it was, I'd rather, I'm really into kayaking now, and I'd rather go kayaking than use my hands for that than up on the pottery. So, and then now I do baskets with willow, and so that satisfies my creative urge.
Did you get into kayaking while you were up here in Alaska?
Yes, I never heard of a kayak until I got here. So, and I didn't kayak at the Hobbit Hole, except for once. I went with Dennis, who's a madman, and he had this kayak. He had this little speedy kayak. I don't even know whose kayak I got in, but we went out through the laundry over to the where all the, what we call it, Bird Rock, but where all the sea lions are. It used to be just seagulls. He wanted to get out and see if there's any eggs in the nest, and I thought he was absolutely crazy getting out because there's a surf. And then we paddled back home, and I thought, I don't know if I need to do this again. And so I never gotten another kayak there. I mean, I watched Deborah go out and kayak. In fact, I gave her a ride one time over to the park, and I thought, these people are crazy. I'm sticking with the skiff. I kind of was just totally skiff head. And then when I moved here, I don't know what finally made me decide that I need to try kayaking, but we do, 2 and 3 week trips all the time, and I hardly want to go unless it's for 3 or 4 days anymore, because who wants to put all that energy into the same amount of energy for 3 days as it is 1 day? So yeah, I love kayaking. I love the just the slow pace and being able to see everything, and I love being outdoors. I love to camp. I love campfires, and the whole time I lived at the Hobbit Hall, we hardly ever had campfires, which I kind of like astonishes me now. I think, how come we didn't have a fire pit? I guess we didn't want to burn wood because we burned it in the wood stove, and you'd watch a, in the evening you can burn up a week's worth of firewood for the house. So that was pretty funny. But and I never went, hardly ever went camping when I was there. I love to camp. I love to be out. I love that whole house. But you were outdoors a lot, so I guess maybe that must have fulfilled my need to be outside.
I also want to ask, how did you get into ceramics?
College, I just started taking art courses, and I took a ceramic course, and I just fell in love with it, and away I went.
That's very cool.
It was very fun.
And then, how does Gustavus compare to the community that you grew up in or experienced
Oh,
growing
no
up in?
comparison. Just well, I grew up in a suburb of Atlanta, and it was a lot to do with my age, of course. It was very open and free, and I felt free. We could go anywhere we wanted. We didn't lock our houses. I rode my bike to school. I grew up the community that we moved into. My dad was a pharmacist, and he started a store there. It was pretty new, so it was kind of like all of a sudden overnight little community. So we all grew up together. So it was very, in that way, I guess it's kind of like here, where we're the familiarity of people's parents and going to the school with the same people from first grade to high school. I would say that would be the only similarity between where I grew up and here. We didn't grow, no one had gardens or, we did all ride our bicycles. I guess that's another similarity. But the familiarity of your neighbors and your friends' parents is very similar. Otherwise, it's probably all I can think of right now.
Do you remember when you decided that you wanted to stay in Alaska? Is that something that you knew when you first got here?
Trying to replay the first got here. I really liked it. Not really, because I knew I still wanted to go. I wanted to travel more. I wanted to go to Australia. I wanted to go to New Zealand. Had made friends from there and wanted to go visit them. I don't know when the bright light or the aha moment came for this is where I wanted to live. But not too long after I'd been here, I just liked the lifestyle, the people, the openness. Not being in a big city, I'm not a shopper or a big city person, not a big crowd person. So there's a lot of things that just the bell went on.
And was it difficult to explain to your family that you
I
wanted
was
to
kind of
stay?
already the black sheep, so no, it wasn't too hard to explain. Definitely did not want to be in the South. The South, I didn't. I was tired of the South. The heat, I hate the heat. Like even now, it's a little hot for me, and I didn't like the atypical Southern outlook of females, and having to prove that you were equal to a man. It's like I didn't want to waste my time doing that for sure.
That's something you felt like you grew up with.
My age, my era, that was definitely what we grew up with. Every woman was supposed to be a teacher or a secretary or something like that. So, I mean, I was on the edge of that transformation. So it was really easy for me to. I knew I did not want to live in Georgia, and I thought maybe California would be a great place to live, but there's so many people there. But
Where were you in California?
the Bay Area, Berkeley, Oakland.
Oh, I'm from
Yeah,
Berkeley.
you live in Berkeley?
I was born there,
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. I loved being there. I loved what the opportunities that it provided me, galleries and art opportunities, but just so many people. So many people. Even though when I lived there, you were able to ride your bike everywhere, and I don't really remember locking my house when I lived there. So that was in the 70s. So I felt really safe living there. But I don't think I would feel that way now. Yeah. But it was a great place to be. And then I also worked with physically challenged people, and that was a real eye-opener for me. And I value that time learning that, what it is like to have a disability and how you can't overcome it. And, as you well know, Berkeley is like one of the most accessible towns on the planet. It's a pretty amazing place to be. But yeah, so I appreciate that the most about Berkeley and my experience there. Made some really good friends. Watched a lot of people die because of their disabilities. And so that was, also a big eye-opener. We don't get faced with death very often in our younger years. So that was good.
And you were in your 20s then?
I was just out of college, 19, 20 to about 24. I think I came to Alaska when I was 25. Totally ignorant of what Alaska was, but happy to be here.
Well, unless there's anything else you want to add, this is the end.
The end.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.